mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Ephesians chapter number 1. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he clears up a lot of bad doctrine, a bunch of bad doctrine, especially in chapter 1 and 2. These chapters cover a multitude of theology. And when most preachers get to this point in their Bible, they either have to throw away a whole lot of sermons or just deny the truth from here on. But in my office, there's a sign that used to sit on my desk when I was pastoring in Florida. And it said, when an honest man is confronted with truth, if he refuses to embrace that truth, he is no longer an honest man.
Amen.
Quite a statement, isn't it?
Yes.
And when you get to the book of Ephesians, a whole lot of Baptists become dishonest.
Yes.
Because they really just can't believe that God knows what's going on from then until now and until then again.
Amen.
Here in chapter number 1, as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, I'm only going to read a portion here, beginning with, let me start with verse number 7. We're jumping right in the middle of this. But he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. My brother preached this morning, made it very plain, that we're not saved by works, not by at all works. It's God's mercy and God's grace, God's love, God's compassion, God's long-suffering, and I could go on for a while, that brings us into the household of faith and the blood of his darling Son that washes our sin away. Wherein, verse 8, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, insight. That's what the word prudence means. Now watch this verse. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now, he done that long ago. God purposed, and God has, through his word, revealed what he will to us. The rest of it's still going to be a mystery. We talk about knowing everything when we get to heaven. That's not so. For the secret things belong to God. There's some things we'll never know, but there's a lot of things we're going to learn instantly and have to hang our head and then probably kind of step around a little bit and try to hide behind somebody else and say, I wonder how in the world I ever got here missing all of that. Father, again, we pray for your divine blessing tonight. We're hopeless without you. We're an empty vessel unless you fill us. And then, Lord, these people will know nothing unless you spill us. So do with us tonight as you will with your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Thank you now. And be seated. We're still dealing with this thought of providence. Providence. God directs the acts and the actions of the whole of his creation. Did you hear that? God directs the acts and the actions, not just the overall, but the individual action of his creation. Now, if God doesn't do that, he's not God. I whispered to Brother Caleb a moment ago, and I said, Brother, what kind of God puts your name in the book and then takes it out again? Is there a God like that in heaven? The answer to that is no, absolutely not. But that's the way a lot of people are preaching it today. Amen. God will put your name in the book, but then he'll take it out. Now, that's not what the book says, not by any stretch of the imagination. God directs the actions of his people. He directs the action of all people. He directs the action of this world. Every nation is under the command of the God of glory. Now, Satan may be manipulating the leaders and the rulers, but God is still over all. watching what's taking place, making sure that it carries out His plan for eternity. God has an eternal plan, and God's eternal plan shall not be overrun.
Amen.
It shall not be ceased. It will not be slowed down by mankind or by the actions of nations. God's time will come in God's time. And when that hour comes, all things will happen according to the plan of the Lord God Almighty. Now, if you can rest in that, you'll never have to visit a psychiatrist. All of the times God has in His hand, your time, my time. God's plan is an eternal plan. God's plan for you is an eternal plan. You're going to live somewhere eternity, throughout eternity. You're not going to fool around somewhere in some makeshift purgatory that the papal church has thought up. No, no, no. You're either going to be in heaven or hell, one of the two. And that's where you're going to spend eternity. There's no going to a place, and then if you do pretty good at that place, then maybe you get to get out of there and go to heaven. It's not the way God worked. Not the way He's going to work. God, before the worlds began, chose whom He would give to His darling Son. And His darling Son said, I'll pay the price for the redemption. Now, when God gave us to Jesus, He told Him they're a fallen people. They'll have to be redeemed. They won't fit in heaven unless they're redeemed. They'll have to be saved by grace. They'll not be able to do it by themselves because they are fallen. And so Jesus, 2,000 years ago, purchased the redemption of His people. Now the Hebrew letter tells us that that was already in the works before eternity began. But the actual act took place 2,000 years ago. Let me go at it another way. In the mind of God, the day God saved you experientially, but in the mind of God, you were saved. I said something one day in Florida, and I made the mistake of saying it at a preacher's meeting. You want to be real careful what you say at a preacher's meeting if you're a sissy. No lace on my drawers, honey. I said, God put your name in the book, and though you were not saved, you were safe. Now think about that for a moment. You were safe from the moment you came into this world. You were safe. Because God had to watch over you. His angels had to care for you. They had to make sure that you got to the place where God was going to save you by His grace. Now, you didn't know that all that time, but when we look back at that, you were as safe as you could be, though you were not yet saved experientially. Now, if you don't think that higher lips, people, some of you folks caught it. I'm glad you do. I'm glad you do. I was talking to someone the other day. I said, the folks at Parkway are as easy to preach to as the folks were in Florida. You learn some things. You see some things. And you rejoice in the things you find. Listen, the God of glory is not some grandpa that makes mistakes and stumbles over his cane every once in a while. Can't remember where he laid this or can't remember what he did back there. No, no, no. Listen, your name is in the book and God is caring for you until you come to salvation. And then at salvation, the Holy Ghost moves inside. And now you have a constant companion.
Yes.
One of the Trinity living inside of you until you get to glory. Now, not only are you safe from your birth, you're safe from your birth until you get home to glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a God. What a God. Do you wonder why people are so nervous in our day and time? Why people are so fearful? It's because they don't know the God I'm talking to you about.
Amen.
The God that's in control. The God that's in charge. Our God reigns. We sang it a few moments ago. Our God reigns. Not He and somebody else. Our God reigns. There are no second lieutenants in this race. We're God's. We're either safe or saved by His marvelous grace. Now work on that for a while. It'll help you. Many a preacher said to me, I heard you say that. It really knocked me down. But I found out that it's so. Now let me just give you a little proof text to help you a little bit. In the first chapter of the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 13. But in this passage, listen, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us who's in charge, by the way. The whole of the chapter declares that God has created, that God is in charge of what He's created. And then watch this verse. But to which of the angels said He at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? That's not the verse. Come to the next verse. Are they not all who? The angels that God has sent, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who? What's that next word? Who's He ministering to? Those that are saved, right? Because He says, who shall be heirs of salvation. They're not there yet, but they're going to get there. Amen. You know why? Look at that verse. God's put the angels out there to make sure you get there. This book don't lie, folks. When God says something, He means what He said. And God sent angels to watch over you, to bring you to salvation. You're watched over. Can you imagine how many things God's kept from happening to us along the way in order to get us to salvation? Hey, is that good or is that good? Hey, that excites me. It may not do anything for you, but that excites this old country boy. Thank God. I'm glad to know that God fixed it long before I got here, and He fixed it so I would get where He meant for me to go. Hey, and the fact still remains that He's fixing it till I get to glory. Have you kept God busy along the way? Those angels, we've called them guardian angels down through the years. I guess that's a good word.
Amen.
The book calls them ministering spirits. But those ministering spirits are there to make sure you are hearing me.
Amen.
To make sure that God's plan is carried out in your life. And then the Holy Ghost. When God saves you, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost of God Almighty, moves inside of us. Now, we have external protection. We have internal protection, which makes it eternal protection. You've heard me say you couldn't go to hell if you wanted to.
Amen.
Of course, you won't want to.
Amen.
But the fact is, you can't go to hell because God Almighty fixed it. And He's not fixing to back up. God does not put your name in the book and then take it out.
Amen.
You see, that leaves all of God's plan up to the rationale of man. And the rationale of man is always dooming to the plan of God.
Amen.
Every case. But God's plan is God's plan, not God's plan and man's plan put together. It is God's plan.
Amen.
Religion is God's plan and man's plan put together. Salvation is God's plan.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so, what God has started, He will end. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good promise right there, isn't it? Over in the book of Daniel for just a moment, chapter number 3. I want to show you a couple of experiences of this thing of God dealing to make sure that His plan is carried out. Now in chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, you're going to find that there's a fiery furnace. And there are three Hebrew children. We've learned this story, we learned this account. I don't like to call them stories. But we learned this account years ago. The thing that never was really pointed out to us in those passages is not only that God was in the fire, but God was outside the fire as well.
Amen.
And before those boys were ever cast into the fiery furnace, God had already fixed it so they'd come out of the fire. Now watch this. God in His providence overruled man. He overruled the kingdom. At that time, the most powerful kingdom in the world, the kingdom of Babylon. And the king, because of his own pride, had taken those three Hebrew boys because they wouldn't bow to his idol and cast them into the fire, the furnace that had been heated seven times over. So hot that when those who took the boys to cast them into the fire were overcome by the flames and they died. And they fell, those boys fell bound into the furnace of fire. Now that whole outfit's watching, and the king was watching. And the king saw something he didn't expect to see. The king saw four men walking in the fire. The Bible said, like the sun. Now watch how this providence of God has worked in this case. You see, the king's power and the king's anger was to destroy those boys because they were disobedient to him. Now watch, there's a power that is higher than the power of government. And it is far more important to be obedient to the power that's higher than the government. I'm going to say this. This is going to, it'll shock some of you. The rest of you are aware. But your nation is quickly becoming a pagan, idol-worshiping nation. And if things continue without anything changing, it doesn't have to speed up or slow down or do anything without anything changing. If things continue as they are, in another decade, people coming on won't know what church is. You know a decade is 10 years. You know that. Because already forces are in motion to shut down Bible preaching churches. And even any individual that would stand against the government. Now listen, let me say this to you. The government is here because we're here. Did you hear that? We're not here because of the government. The government didn't put us here. The God of glory put us here. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a power beyond the power of government. Jesus said, honor to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. So don't you forget there is a power higher than. And that power that is lower than is doing its best to shut the doors of gospel preaching churches around this country. Didn't start yesterday, started a long time ago. You've been going on and gaining speed even more so in this communist regime that is now in D.C. And I didn't miss my words. I said communist. Communists hate Christ. Communists hate Christianity. And if there's any way that the communists can destroy Christianity, they are going to do it. But I remember a promise. Our Lord said to Simon Peter, Simon Peter had just made a confession that Jesus was the Son of God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I have a promise. It may look bad, but I have a promise. Remember, I'm safe, I'm saved, and I'm kept. Amen. By the power of God. Amen. The good thing about it is this. We have example after example down through history of God's children who have given their life for their faith. Amen. Don't be surprised if it come to that again. Amen. I don't want that to happen. You don't want that to happen. But don't be surprised if that begins to happen again. And people have to give their life for the cause of Christ. Amen. I remember the testimony of Sir Walter Raleigh. I think this is in the Trail of Blood. And they took Sir Walter Raleigh, a great Christian. The government took him to the stock and then to the guillotine. And when they put his head in the guillotine to separate his head from his body, when he put his head in, he didn't put it in exactly right. And the executioner said, sir, thy head is not fixed, meaning that it wasn't in the stock properly. And Sir Walter Raleigh uttered these words, the final words of his life, sir, it matters not if my head is fixed, so long as my heart is fixed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the blade dropped, and his head fell off the side. Hey, if Sir Walter Raleigh can face the stakes, you can. For the same grace God gave him, he'll give you.
Amen.
And me. If the disciples and apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ had to die the way they died for the cause of Christ, then you can do the same thing.
Amen.
I'm saying to you that the providence of God is to care for his children all the way home.
Amen.
All the way. I told our church in Florida that edifice sitting there beside the highway, A1A. I said, this place has been built for the glory of God. And the purpose of this ministry is to minister from birth until the graveyard.
Amen.
And we took those children when they were just months old in daycare, trained them right on up through kindergarten, through 12 grades, into college, into seminary. And we had a place when they passed away, we'd take them and put them in the ground. Three big crosses standing there, marking the place where the saints from that place had gone on to meet the Lord.
Amen.
Now hear me. God's plan, God's providence in our lives doesn't start when God saves you. It started before you had a granny.
Amen.
It started before time began as we know it. For in the mind and the plan of God, he'd fixed it. So you could be in heaven with him for eternity.
Amen.
Boy, what a God.
Amen.
Whew. What a God.
Amen.
One more little experience and I'll stop tonight. In Acts chapter 16, there's an account of two men called Paul and Silas. They've been put in jail because of what they're preaching. You know what they're preaching? Jesus. As preaching Jesus. And they cast them in jail. And wait a minute. They didn't just put them in jail. They put them in the inner ward, which means they were in there, what you and I would call solitary confinement. Back in there where they had to go through more than one gate to get out. And they were singing. You know what? I'd really like to know what they were singing. I know they were singing some of the Psalms, but I don't know which ones they were singing. When I read through the Psalms and when I preach through the Psalms, I've tried to wonder, is this the one they were singing? But they were singing and something happened. You see, they were singing and praising God. How many times have I said to you, in Psalm 23, that sheep is talking to another sheep for three verses. But when you get to verse number 4, he's not talking to another sheep. He's talking to the shepherd. Because in those first three verses, he's been bragging on his shepherd. And when you brag on the shepherd, when you praise the shepherd shows up. You're getting the picture. And when the shepherd showed up, everything changed. So Paul and Silas are praising God and singing, and the shepherd shows up. And when he showed up, the earth quaked, and the prison shook, and all that was binding them fell off. In other words, instantly they became free men right there in prison. But there's another miracle takes place. Nobody leaves. Even the sinner, when God shows up, is dumbfounded. He ain't fixing to go nowhere.
Amen.
And the saint's not going anywhere because he's closer than he's ever been. So no one goes anywhere. And the jailer comes in thinking that everyone's escaped. And he's fixing to kill himself. Paul and Silas said, hey, wait just a minute. Don't do that. We're still here.
Amen.
Now that boy was so overcome by what happened. He was so overcome by recognizing there was another power there other than the Roman government. Are you listening?
Amen.
A power greater than the Roman government. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Here's the simple solution. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Boy, what a promise.
Amen.
Mm. I don't know about you, and it don't really make a whole lot of difference.
Amen.
I believe in household salvation.
Amen.
I mean that. I believe that daddy and mama truly believe somehow, some way, God will fix the heart of the children. I could give you a whole lot of examples of that right now. I could give you some examples of it otherwise. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Now, you know what that jailer did? He took them fellas out of there, cleaned them up, took care of their wounds where they'd been beaten by the whip. Are you still listening to me?
Amen.
And took them home with him.
Yeah.
Said, I want you to tell my family about what you told me. Can you see the providence of God overruling the government again? And time and time again throughout the scripture. But now let me hurry. I want to say this. God overrules the stubborn heart that is far more powerful than any government in the world. God overruled our stubborn heart. Look up here. Every last one of us had a stubborn heart. Some more so than others, but we all had a stubborn heart. But God overrules that stubborn heart. Hallelujah. In His providence. And brings you to the cross, laden with sin, bowing before Jesus, getting rid of your sin, and walking with Christ.
Amen.
A resurrected walk with Christ.
Amen.
And an eternity with Him yet to come.
Amen.
That's God's plan.
Yes.
That's God's providence. And that's what is going to happen. Exactly according to God's plan.
Amen.
Stand with me, please.